The day he was diagnosed, they call it the never day. And it's because he was told he would never do so many things. Speak, mainstream in school, have friends, have a job, self-advocate, drive, and a lot of those things at 23 now he has done, he has checked off. Mm-hmm. And so the journey has been, it's hard to believe it's been 20 years.
Hello and welcome to Holly's Huddles, a podcast series created to help people at every stage of the autism journey. My name is Dr. Darren Sush, Cigna's head of autism and psychology. I'll be joined every session by actress, activist, and mother of a thriving autistic son, Holly Robinson Pete. So let's jump right in and learn more about Holly's journey. Holly, thank you so much for being here and thank you for joining us. Would you please share a little bit about your autism story and the discovery process for your son, RJ?
Well, first of all, I'm so excited to get Holly's Huddles kicked off. It's something I wanted to do for a long time. And thank you so much, Dr. Sush, for helping me realize this dream to be able to talk about autism in this way. So my RJ is now 23, but when he was 20 years ago, he was diagnosed with autism. And it was a really difficult diagnosis for our family. Very, very difficult for my husband and I. My husband was an NFL quarterback at the time. RJ had a twin sister named Ryan. And that diagnosis was tough, I think mainly because of the lack of resources that we were given upon diagnosis. So it's one thing to tell someone that their child has autism. It's another thing to basically give them no hope moving forward. And that's what I saw back then. And it was a tough time. That was one of the reasons why eventually I wanted to talk so publicly and openly about RJ's journey, because I wanted other families to have the hope that I didn't have. The day he was diagnosed, they call it the never day. And it's because he was told he would never do so many things. Speak, mainstream in school, have friends, have a job, self-advocate, drive, and a lot of those things at 23 now he has done, he has checked off. Mm-hmm. And so... Wow. The journey has been, it's hard to believe it's been 20 years. Like when I think about that, it's a head scratcher. Like, wow. Because there were times when I didn't know what the future would look like and I didn't have a lot of hope for the future.
Right. And I think so many families, even today, experience that same thing, even though there's so many more resources available now than there was in the past. But there's still all those question marks that just are faced, that parents face when they receive or learn about that diagnosis. Along your journey, what were some of the challenges, the triumphs that your family experienced together and especially with RJ?
I would say the number one challenge was acceptance, was trying to figure out how to live with autism, how to have hope with autism, how to thrive with autism, and what did we want to do to help RJ get along in this world. The other challenge, the extra challenge, I think, was my husband's inability to accept the diagnosis, which I'm sure anybody who has experienced this will understand that denial is a real thing and it's very difficult to overcome. Fortunately for us, we were able to do that. And my husband ended up not only overcoming it, but writing a beautiful book about his journey, which I think has been very helpful for a lot of dads who sometimes process the autism diagnosis very differently than us moms. Not always, but sometimes.
Right.
That was probably the hard part of the journey, was navigating my marriage through all this. My husband was on the road playing football, and he had all these issues about, well, you know, my kid's the only kid that's not running around the locker room, asking for autographs. He's twirling and stemming and flapping, and he's disconnected. And it was difficult for him to process. And then along the way, we just met so many great people and stories and families that we were able to share with. And those were the lighthouses, if you will, right? It gave us hope and gave us a sense of, okay, we're going to get through this. We don't know what it looks like yet, but we're going to be okay. And then also, remember, he had a twin sister who talks often about how she felt neglected, how she wasn't the squeaky wheel, so she didn't get all of the attention.
Right.
So that's another challenge along the way, having other children in the house. And eventually we went on to have two more, and the dynamic of making sure each kid gets their squeaky wheel time.
Right. Right. And you know, one of the things that you mentioned is, I think, so impactful in that, you know, there's resources, and we talked about their supports and their services and their therapies, but having those connections, whether it be within the family or friends or just other people who can give you advice and information, is just so important for a lot of these families, because you don't know where to look. And it sometimes it's just not easy to find those answers. So someone, especially like yourselves, who've been down these roads before and had these struggles and figured out some answers that work, that's just so meaningful for so many families. So thank you again, I mean, for sharing your story and just being that resource for people out there who just, you know, are looking for some place to find some answers and some support.
Well, I'm glad to be thanked, because I didn't really have a lot of those people around me back in 2000. I was very lonely in my diagnosis and didn't have the resources that so many families have today. One of the things I tell parents that if you just got a diagnosis is, be thankful that you have so many resources, and there are so many places to go. You don't want to say to somebody, oh, you know, you're lucky because back in my day, I didn't have this, that, and the other. There is something to be grateful for, that there are so many resources. Even a forum like this, it did not exist back then. There were maybe some chat rooms and a couple support groups, but this type of platform to reach so many parents and have conversations didn't exist. So if you got the diagnosis today or yesterday or recently, I would say the good news is you have so many resources, and there's a lot of hope and a lot of help out there.
Right. And so many families, you know, when they receive that diagnosis of autism, obviously there's questions, there's struggle, there's concern that comes up, but in some way also that diagnosis gives direction. Okay, now I know where we are, now I know something that we need to do, and especially as you mentioned today, there's not enough, but at least there's more resources and supports and services out there that can be of help. How's RJ doing now? What's, you know, he's a grown up, you know, he's an adult now, so how's he doing?
Well, I still cannot believe I'm saying he's 23 years old. because like I told you, that never day really did take the wind out of our sails. And he's checked so many of those nevers off the list. One of the things that we were told he would never do is have a job. He doesn't only have a job, he has his dream job. He is a clubhouse attendant for the Los Angeles Dodgers, which means he takes care of all of the players' clothes and uniforms and make sure everything is washed. And now this is the boy, mind you, that doesn't do an ounce of laundry at home, but somehow he can manage doing laundry for an entire Major League Baseball team. And so go figure. But it's an amazing job. And this is a kid who had literally no friends growing up. And now he's got all of these major leaguers and his clubhouse guys and even people from the front office that are just so loving and supporting to him. The Dodgers understood that by hiring someone with autism, that they were not just helping RJ, but they were helping the autism community, and they were really helping their own workforce. Their team is better because RJ's there. And, you know, I get emotional by World Series, which is really amazing, and RJ gets a ring, and that's pretty awesome. Wow. But every time I go on social media, or I see one of the players, I go on this long, proud clubhouse mommy rant about, oh my gosh, thank you for being so nice to my son and embracing him. You don't know what it means to me for him to be able to self-advocate and have a sense of pride in his life and value. And they always tell me the same thing. They say, Mrs. P, it's your son who makes us happy. He brings us the sunshine every single day. And so RJ's doing great. He's a little bored right now. He's been furloughed for a minute because of the pandemic. He's really struggling with not knowing what's going on in his employment situation. But the job has been a game changer. And hopefully when things get a little more back to normal, some of the anxiety and issues that he's experiencing now will go away. But overall, I mean, it's a really beautiful story. And I like to share it because I think so many parents need to hear something like that when they're looking at their three-year-old and they don't know, or they've been told he'll never do something.
Right. Well, and it's such an amazing thing too, not only that he was able to achieve one of those things that you were originally told was going to be a never thing, yeah. Right? But also that as an adult, he's able to have that kind of impact on so many people's lives to show, number one, for families who are going through similar things that what your family went through, that it's possible, and also to raise awareness and raise acceptance and make connections to people who might not otherwise have had an understanding of what autism is and what autism looks like, or maybe they've only seen it in TV shows and or they have it's a mystery to them. So what a great service really he's providing to raise awareness and acceptance and understanding.
He's an interesting guy. You'd love him if you met him. You wouldn't imagine that he struggled his whole school life with no friends and no social connections, because he's so gregarious and loving and connected right now. And a lot of it is just from his therapies and being able to understand how to move in the world. But you're absolutely right. And that is one of the reasons why we did a reality show. That was not like on my bingo card in life that I was going to do a reality show. But one of the reasons I really wanted to do these shows is I wanted to show the world that this was a success story, a story of a kid that and show the possibilities of life. Because that's just one thing I didn't have when we got the diagnosis. It was so bleak and dark. We got to have hope. You have to have hope. And I wanted RJ to be able to be sort of that beacon in a way. He doesn't always enjoy that role, but he does understand the value of it. He understands how it can really help, because people are always walking up to him in places, wherever it may be, in an airport, and saying, thank you, RJ, for sharing your story, because it's helped me and my family.
That's great. Any tips, any guidance that you want to share with families who are supporting loved ones who are on the spectrum, or things that have worked really well for your family that you can spread the word on?
I always maintain that all our kids are different, and what works for one child is not going to work for another. But for me, I didn't even know how to describe in the early days. My sleeves were rolled up. My boxing gloves were laced up. I was an autism mama. I was gangsta. That's the only way to put it. Like, there was nothing I wouldn't do for this child. I was constantly fighting and advocating for him. And I think a lot of moms and dads can relate to that. You just got to go to bat for your kid. Again, many more resources now than there were 2 decades ago. But the good news is, people understand autism a little bit more in the world. Not everybody, obviously, right. But people right. understand. So now when you say, oh, my kid has autism or he's autistic, you've got a few more references than just Rain Man. You have places you can go online. You can see kids like RJ and doing amazing things. And then a lot of people who have autism as adults that have never really shared that have come out and shared that. And that's been helpful right. too. So my advice would be, roll up your sleeves, advocate like crazy. You got to thicken your skin a little bit. And I think kindness goes a long way. Now, I'm not saying this from experience, because there were times when I was less than kind to people who were not understanding of my son's experiences, especially on planes and places that I've been mm-hmm. out in public. But I find that when you treat people like they don't understand something and give them an education, it really, really helps. And then you don't talk down to them, and then they're more likely to be more understanding about what your son or daughter may be going through. So kill them with kindness.
Well, thank you so much, Holly, and thank you to our listeners. Be sure to listen to our next podcast in the series, where we'll discuss getting a diagnosis and accessing services.
This information is for educational purposes only. It is not medical advice. Always ask your doctor for appropriate examinations, treatment, testing, and care recommendations.